Devotional service by giving the greatest respect to the spiritual master and the acharyas. He should be compassionate to the poor and make friendship with persons who are his equals. But all his activities should be executed under regulation and with control of the senses. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, it is clearly stated that one should execute devotional service and advance on the path of spiritual knowledge by accepting the acharya. Acharyopasanam, one should worship an acharya, a spiritual master who knows things as they are. The spiritual master must be in the disciplic succession of Krishna. The predecessors of the spiritual master are his spiritual master, his grand spiritual master, his great grand spiritual master, and so on, who form the disciplic succession of acharyas. It is recommended herewith that all the acharyas be given the highest respect. It is stated, Gurushu Naramati. Gurushu means unto the acharyas, and Naramati means thinking like a common man. To think of the Vaishnavas, the devotees, as belonging to a particular caste or community. To think of the acharyas as ordinary men, or to think of the deity in the temple as being made of stone, wood, or metal is condemned. Niyamena, one should offer the greatest respect to the acharyas according to the standard regulations. Devotees should also be compassionate to the poor. This does not refer to those who are poverty stricken materially. According to devotional vision, a man is poor if he is not in Krishna consciousness. A man may be very rich materially, but if he is not Krishna conscious, he is considered poor. On the other hand, many acharyas, such as Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, used to live beneath trees every night. Superficially, it appeared that they were poverty-stricken, but from their writings, we can understand that in spiritual life, they were the richest personalities. A devotee shows compassion to those poor souls who are wanting in spiritual knowledge by enlightening them in order to elevate them to Krishna consciousness. That is one of the duties of the devotee. He should also make friendship with persons who are on an equal level with himself, who have the same understanding as he does. For a devotee, there is no point in making friendship with ordinary persons. He should make friendship with other devotees so that by discussing among themselves, they can elevate one another on the path of spiritual understanding. This is called Ishta devotion. In Bhagavad Gita, there is reference to Bodhayanta Parasparam, discussing amongst themselves. Generally, pure devotees utilize their valuable time in chanting and discussing various activities of Lord Krishna or Lord Chaitanya amongst themselves. There are innumerable books such as the Puranas, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Upanishads, which contain countless subjects for discussion among two devotees and more. Friendship should be cemented between persons with mutual interest and understanding. Such persons are said to be swajati, of the same caste. The devotee should avoid a person whose character is not fixed in the standard of understanding, even though he may be a Vaishnava or a devotee of Krishna. If his character is not correctly representative, then he should be avoided. One should steadily control the senses and the mind to strictly follow the rules and regulations. And he should make friendship with persons of the same standard. So Kapila Muni here is describing the devotional process. And having discussed the philosophy, the position of the Lord, the position of the jiva, the living entity, the material nature. Now he's discussing the relationships that the devotees have amongst themselves. Because factually, all there is in the cosmic creation is relationship, the relationship between the living entities and God, and between the different associates of the Lord with one another. Factually, nothing else is going on. We may feel that something else is happening, but that is our own, illusion in Factually, all that's happening is the Lord is interacting with his cosmic creation. So here then, distinction is made, even though all that he said in the previous verse that all souls are seen as equal, meaning they're all on the same transcendental platform. There's a distinction made between their application of that position in their relationship with the Lord. That depending upon the individual soul's relationship with the Lord, then one gives that a consideration. And that then is also then considered in relationship with how we are serving the Lord. But everybody is equal in that they are all situated on the transcendental platform. So to be able to function on both of these platforms at once is very important. If you want to be socially functional, you have to be able to do this. You have to be able to see, not make a distinction, all souls are the servant of the Lord. Therefore, factually the conditioned nature or that one is seeing is not actually what is that living entity. That is just their conditioning. It's going to function according to its natural nature. Just like, let's say, a dog is showing affection, it's very affectionate, and the nature of affection is, you know, not different than any other show, but the form that the dog will show will be in line with that of the dog. Right? They're going to bark, you know, in very short ways, they're going to, you know, jump around, wag their tail, they're going to slobber a lot. You know, they're not, let's say, refined in their expression of affection. But, so, every living entity naturally has that nature to show up and express affection, but it will be different according to the nature of the particular form that is being manifested through. Right? So, in that way, we see all living entities as equal. But at the same time, we have to be able to make distinction. So if we only make distinction and don't see the equality of the jivas, or the spirit souls, then there'll be a problem. We'll be overrun by mundane sentiments and attachments and that. If we see the equality of the souls, don't make the distinction, then we'll be, you know, spiritually very nicely situated, but as far as relationship goes, we won't have any. So we have to be able to balance these two. That is the devotional process. Otherwise, why would this chapter, it's explaining devotional service, but so much of it has been described along with the mentality or the mood that is important for devotional service. We always have to remember is that the rules and regulations must be there because that's the form. Without form, how is one person going to be comfortable with another in exchanging, personal exchange? If you come up, meet somebody, and you're happy to see them, you hold your right hand out to shake their hand, they hold out their left, what are you going to do? So if you're not sure, am I supposed to change this? Or do I shake this left hand with my right hand? Or do I shake this left hand with my left hand? Or, you wouldn't be bewildered. So the natural flow of that interaction would be halted due to the lack of form. That makes sense? So, but the form doesn't stand on its own. The form is not meant to be that is the perfection. The form is simply that you have a common ground to relate to another living entity, or to relate to God. So the rules and regulations of devotional service are there simply for this purpose. So God likes these different rules because they establish how you interact with Him, how you interact with the devotees. Then you can have common ground. The definition of community is a group of persons that have a common value system.
If it's not a common value system, you don't have community. Right? So, therefore, we see from both of these things that Krishna is mentioning, the equal vision of the jivas, at the same time able to see social division or spiritual division, is necessary to complete the process. Otherwise, then one may have philosophical commonality with other devotees, but it doesn't mean that you have social commonality. And what is the basis of social? Right? One could say modern, but what is that modern? Is modern Hungarian culture? What about Polish? Afghanistan, maybe? Vietnam, China, Indonesia, Tunisia, Libya, South Africa, Colombia, Mexico, Canada. It means America. Right? And then there's some difference of opinion, of course, between the English. And then the Australians, they most who are out of it, you know, the Septics and the Yanks, you know, like that. Excuse me, the Septics are the Yanks. It's the Septics and the Palms, right? Okay. So, like this, so therefore, how universal is that? It won't bring together the world. It can't. It doesn't bring together America. It doesn't. Right? So, the only thing that will bring together the whole world, that everyone will be comfortable, is a cultural system based on eternal principles of the nature of the soul and Godhead. That's the only thing that can bring it together. Because that works for everyone. It's interesting, just to know this, that in traveling around the world, that there's, you know, there's different nuances, or how do you say, ways of interacting that you do in India. You know, the way you nod your head, or different things that you do to indicate different meanings. And I've noticed that outside India, they don't work on adults. Asians basically will understand, and some other cultures, but it won't work in the first and second world. But the interesting thing is if the kids are small enough, it works on everybody. Everybody understands. Right? So it's just with time, then they become used to or accustomed to the particular social customs of the local area. But the Vedic system is actually meant for everyone, but it's a matter of understanding that its perfection is not performing it perfectly in the way of the regulation. Its perfection is that it's used as a medium to express your relationship with other devotees and with the Lord. That's what it's for. So this is where you get your smartness and your liberals, or your conservatives and the liberals. Conservatives understand the importance of form, and they're very comfortable there, but they have the inability to apply it to the individual. But it means if the circumstance changes, they feel very uncomfortable because they can't function out beyond the rule. They're very intelligent in the way that they understand of the importance of regularity and standards, and they know that everything works when everything is in its proper place. But to go beyond that, to make a consideration that may be an exception, that's very difficult for them. And once you open that door, because their social development is very fixed and very mature, you could say, in tradition, but as an individual, it's not so developed that they wouldn't be able to accommodate anything outside that sphere. Their world would fall apart if they applied it beyond their normal day-to-day application. So they avoid, you know, the one rule fits everybody. The liberals, on the other hand, have the opposite problem. They have no problem trying to apply everything, at least they say, to the individual. And that's always their consideration. But the problem is to do that, to deal with every different situation, generally means that there are situations and standards. A common standard doesn't exist. So therefore, if you look at it, your strongest communities are conservative. Liberals don't have community. They don't. You have a couple of friends, but actually, as far as they don't have a community. Because each person will have his own standards that he's trying to liberally apply. Does that make sense? So, God's concept is that you have a form that is there, standards that are there, by which everybody can have a basis for interaction. But you have to use your intelligence and your good qualities to be able to apply that to the individual. So in other words, we see is what is actually the strong point of both the conservative and the liberal, that's actually the debated system. That's the middle path. And we have to be careful of the weakness of these two, because one is thinking, I've done, performed the rule, everything's done and perfect. Or, because I have done something for an individual, and I throw out the rules, therefore it's perfect. So this is Niyamagraha, the rule of Goswami warns against. Either following the rule dogmatically, or throwing it out due to lack of understanding. That's the fun part, right? The liberals always consider themselves very intellectual, but their basis of action is based on not using their intelligence. It's just sentiment. Well, the other ones use their intelligence, but are not very personal. They don't consider the emotions and relationships. So we have to be very careful of these two, which are the main pitfalls we see in taking up philosophy and religion. If this is the natural beginning stage, we will take it one way or the other, or a mix, naturally. Each individual will have its own mix. So here, then, in making those, the previous verses are describing the mood and performing things in the mode of goodness according to the rules. With that, I say, without attachment to the results, without a motive, that these are the mood by which the activity is performed. And so now he's bringing out, now having made everything, brought out those qualities that are generic, how we apply in everything. Now within that, we have to make distinction between senior equals and junior. And that distinction is not lacking in God consciousness, Prabhupada is saying here. Devotee should avoid person's character is not fixed on the standard understanding, even though he may be a Vaishnava or a devotee of Krishna. If his character is not properly represented, then he should be avoided. Friendship should be cemented between persons with mutual interest and understanding. Such persons are said to be swajati in the same caste. This is given by Rupa Goswami. In other words, you're going to deal with all devotees equally in that you deal with them with proper etiquette, but you're only going to make friends with those who have a similar nature, because then you have a common ground to sit and discuss about Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, where is that? And if we're supposed to be close and intimate with devotees, it means there has to be a proper basis. Right? So we see is that therefore the liberal and conservative mentality get in the way of this process. The liberals know why should we get this? We're all horrible devotees, yes, but you're only going to get intimate with those devotees that have a similar nature. And to complain that that's a problem means you're complaining about relationships, which is against the foundation of what the platform on which the liberals make their campaign. Right? They campaign that they're for relationships and the individuals, but actually they're not. They're just as impersonal as the conservatives. Just it's a different kind of impersonal. That's all. It's not actually personal. Because the conservatives and liberals never are personal. They can't be. I mean, it's a little bit, of course. But in general, it's very hard. That's why they can't expand. You have a little thinking community. It's very tight. They can't expand. And if someone questions the nature of it, they can't explain it. On the other one, they feel that commonality, the world view and everything like that. But that world view is the view of a few intellectuals who happen to have a computer and know how to push the send button. Right? And there is somebody who's willing to publish what they write. How many people like that are there in the world? It's a handful. Right? So a few hundred, a few thousand people think they are the world. Right? They think they are everything. So it's a problem. And so then the real essence of Krishna consciousness is actually missed, not due to our lack of philosophical understanding, but due to our actual lack of ability to see things in the proper social light. Right? Everybody will have friends, because there's always people who are like nature. And you should be happy with your friends, and happy that others have their friends. Don't be worried that everybody doesn't love me, or this and that. No, how many are there friends? Right? Close friends. Krishna, how many intimate friends does Krishna have? It's a handful. You can name them. Right? And then there's a handful of those who are senior, then there's a handful who are equal, there's a whole bunch who are junior to him. Right? So there's always going to be lots of common acquaintances and friendships on that level, but intimacy is going to be less. Right? And if you have that, then you have something solid. And don't worry that you have that, I have to have more. Otherwise you'll end up like, you know, the example of the was the dog with the bone, and he sees the dog in the water, reflecting the water, his bone, because the reflection looks bigger, so he's barking at him to get his bone, and he loses his own bone. So it's important that we're satisfied. That's the cultivation that Jiva has to make, of that being satisfied. Right? These are all important qualities. That because there's unlimited scope, but that scope that is according to our actual nature, we should be satisfied with that. We don't have to do more. Let someone else do other things. Like we're managing our, we're satisfied running our temple. We have to run all the temples of the world. No, whatever we do, be satisfied that it works for us. And don't expect everybody has to do what you're doing. Right? So here then the importance of, we see that the basis then of that relation, making this distinction, is that of respect. So you have to be able to respect those who are senior, but at the same time friendship and being with juniors is also has respect. But it's not formal. Right? With those who are junior, a little bit of formality, but there's that kindness, that compassion. With friends, then that respect is there of the individual, but that closeness, that intimacy is there. And those who are senior, then that respect is there, and that means the way of surrender, service, and that. It may have be more close or less, or more formal, that's fair. But respect is the basis of relationship. You don't have respect, you do not have relationship. So those persons who do not respect authority, take it from me, you can write it in your book, they do not have any close friends. They do not. You know, we don't want to make anyone insecure or have any kind of emotional breakdowns here, but actually, if you want to know, it's not a problem, I don't have a relationship, I don't have any close. No, the point is that's easily corrected. Develop respect. That's all. If you don't have, what? If you don't respect anyone, you don't trust anyone. Right? Because to trust, I must respect. So the foundation of rasa, or relationship, is respect. Shantaras means I appreciate. If I don't appreciate, there is no rasa. You don't have a relationship, don't kid yourself. Unless you appreciate, that's there. And what happens with pride is that appreciation may be clouded or lost. That's what breaks down the relationship. because nothing else can function. You have a big building, it's built on a foundation. You remove the foundation, the building will come down. So if there's a problem in a relationship, all you have to do is reinstitute the appreciation that was there. Why did you make friendship in the first place? Why did you have a relationship in the first place? Because of some form of respect, appreciation. Then on that, it built. Then interaction is there, service is there, friendship is there, and this way it builds. Each relationship, each higher rasa includes the lower one. They don't stand on their own. You can't have conjugal rasa if there's no respect, if there's no friendship, if there's no mood of service, if there's no care about the person to see that they're, you know, properly emotionally, physically taken care of. If you don't have that, you don't have a conjugal relationship. Right? Conjugal relationship is not defined by sex. It's defined by the mood. Right? So that's very, very important. Is that so? The first thing is respect. So the most greatest manifestation of that will then be with those who are senior. So it's first described. And if that's there, then that's your key, your connection into the spiritual world. Because Krishna respects the devotees. So if we don't respect the devotees, what is our common ground with Krishna? But if you want to be close with God, then you have that common ground. Right? And that common ground is respect for devotees. Right? Because that's what's important to God, there's devotees. So if the devotees aren't important to us, we're not going to actually become close with God. How can we? What's going to be the common ground? Right? There must be some common ground by which you have a basic relationship. The common ground is the devotees. And that means, as here, is you're doing it for the other's benefit. We're not looking for our own benefit. If you work for someone else's benefit, you get benefit. But if you work for your own benefit, how much can you get? Maximum you get 50-50 if the person's really cooperative. Right? But if you are working completely for someone else's benefit, they can work for yours. Right? And you can only get that full benefit if you make the endeavor. You can't say, well, what they first, you know, do for me, then I'll do for them. It's not going to work. Everyone's going to, it's going to be stalemate. Everyone will sit around waiting for the other one to make the first move. It's not going to happen. So that, but it's not sentimental. You just throw yourself out of the know. It's a matter of your character. Who has common ground, who has common nature, you get closer with them. Those who don't, you keep it formal. That's all. But you have a basis relationship with everybody based on Krishna consciousness and the basic etiquette and culture. And then closeness, that's another thing that develops. Yeah. And here we see is that richness is based on Krishna consciousness. The more one has Krishna consciousness, that's the one considered rich. And one doesn't, then one is not so rich. Sanatana Goswami, he was the minister for the Nawabu Singh Shah. He was his prime minister. That meant the whole eastern India, all the different seven states in the east, they were all managed by Sanatana Goswami. Right? So he had a good facility, but he considered himself poor. Why? Because he didn't know who he was, who is God. So this is the position. So surrendering to the spiritual authorities, following their directions, not making up our own or thinking, well, the Acharya, that was, you know, so 1960s, right? You know, that's not going to get you anywhere, right? It can't. The teachings of the Acharyas are eternal, and today, amazingly enough, despite modern perspective, is part of eternal. Right now is still part of eternal. Yesterday was, tomorrow will be. So that means the eternal instructions are eternally applicable. But you have to use your brain to apply it. You have to use your brain. So controlling the senses and mind, strictly following the rules and regulations, you should make friendship with persons of the same standard. So that's what many people are looking to bring up here. Any questions? So don't underestimate relationships based on the Vedic standard. The modern concept of sentimental relationship is well-meaning in that it's naturally generated from the inherent nature of the soul. But due to its lack of knowledge and understanding, due to its lack of scientificness, it's not actually giving satisfaction in a broad way. Everyone's talking universal love New World Order and all these different things, but it's not going to happen unless that common ground is God's standard. It's God's world, and it's only going to work by God's standards, not by anyone else. It won't, it can't. Now it's the end. They can try. That one sentence, because we only have 2 minutes.
Modern government, the cabinet will have its one thing, which is that the liberal. In the Dominican Council of the King, was there also the government?
Was there, okay. In the modern, you have your liberals and your conservatives, the debate concept, and you have liberals and conservatives. You're inherently going to have someone who's looking more on the rule side and someone who's looking more on the application or that personal side. So you're always going to have that anyway. But the point is if the foundation is in the middle, then which is the medium you use, more left or more right, it doesn't matter. You know, it's just like, because that's your language. But the situation is the same. You know, just like in India, if you go to anyone, see if you have any kind of tradition in your house, no matter what social status, what community they're from, the quality of serving of the meal, the mood, the affection, that well-wishing will be exactly the same. But the detail of what they serve you, on what, in what situation, that will vary according to the community and the social status. So in the Vedic cultures, that commonality was the understanding of the culture and the fundamental philosophy. Then, according to their individual nature, they would be more inclined towards this aspect or that aspect of the culture and philosophy. So they emphasize that that's what makes them unique. And then they would therefore make friendship, you know, be more close to a person who are like-minded. Does that make sense? But otherwise, the basis in the Shastra and Rock consciousness of respect and authority, you know, practices and mode of goodness, detachment, these are all common that everybody can function on. Okay. So you'll always have this right and left anyway. But the point is the decision has to be made based on the middle. So it's not a matter of this side wins or that side wins. Only when it comes to the middle and you can apply it, then does everybody win. Otherwise, the modern this side wins and that side wins, but everybody doesn't benefit because of that. Is that the point? So we'll end here. Let's now Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samadhi Bhagavatam ki, Jayadaya Govinda.